to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Lone Oak Base Action Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 43. Yeah, 43. Dow Futures up 379. NASDAQ Futures up 118. This is after a pretty dismal last week. We're trying to have a nice bounce here. We got oil up 240 to 3183. 10-year yield 0.64. Do we have Frank?
Yes, we do.
Frank, how are you, buddy?
Good.
What, another $3 trillion coming at us?
Pardon me?
Another $3 trillion coming at us. We got to buy the market?
I don't know what you have to do. I mean, Powell was pretty bullish yesterday on 60 Minutes, the chairman of the Fed, saying that don't bet against the U.S. economy.
Ah. I think he needs to get out of the limousine.
Well, he also said that 40% of the people making less than $40,000 a year in the U.S. were unemployed.
Which tells you exactly how much they care about people making under 40% of the year.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you had Azar yesterday saying that the problem was we have a diverse population and we have problems with health care being delivered to minorities, the African-American population. So what are we going to do? We're going to dismantle the Affordable Care Act.
I'm going to say that's another example of people only seeing what they're shown or what they're seeing in front of their face. I'm going to say that the health, I won't say desert, in the African-American community in the cities compared to other people, or certainly not much worse in Hispanic areas. They don't go to the doctor. Plus, how many people there that they keep saying aren't supposed to be here? They don't have insurance. Right, but how many?
And they have a higher rate than the African Americans of infection than in Chicago.
So, but I mean, does anybody think that that anybody's healthcare is decent in West Virginia or in rural Alabama or Georgia or someplace or Mississippi?
Well, the difference is population density. So you have less opportunities to infect or be infected.
I'm not talking about the COVID. I'm talking about just healthcare in general.
Oh, healthcare! We've had a healthcare delivery problem for a long time.
Yeah, and it's depending on what part of the country, wherever the poor people happen to be, whatever color they happen to be, that's where the problem is. Right.
Right.
I mean, it's not. How can I put it this way? It's not really a question of color. It's a question of economy, and wherever part you happen to be, whoever the poor people are, whatever color they are, they got the problem.
Right. Exactly.
And
it's
I think a
problem of socioeconomic status.
Do you think that the people who are hanging under the bridge that are asking for money every day, they're all white? Do you think they got a healthcare delivery system? I'm thinking no.
No. And nobody really cares.
Nobody
well,
cares.
I shouldn't say nobody cares.
Nobody the cares enough.
The workers do. The Salvation Army does.
Yeah,
there's a quarter in America
well,
that
certainly
cares.
What do you think? What do you suppose... Manny, put this on your producer list, or you can give this job to Jack. I'm sure they'd be happy to come on. I'll bet the people in the food depository, how many people do you think they're up to a day they're feeding? They were 250,000. They got to be way higher than that now. But how do they... I got a question for you that neither one of you know the answer to. Maybe you do. You guys are even more mavens than I thought. Manny, we had the guy on last time. He's been on a couple times. They get a lot of their food, especially their hot food, from restaurants that have, you know, cooked too much and send it to them. Well, these restaurants closed. Where the hell do you think they're getting it, or they're just not?
I'd say they're not getting cooked food from restaurants.
I'd say
there are some people that are cooking. But
I bet they're, you know what, we should pin a note on yourself, Matty, or leave it for Jack. I'd love those guys back on, because I'll bet their demand has grown and their supply has dropped. So how do we get on, what's this show that they supposedly have some, went out to Audrey's for the weekend, obviously, and she had her two pals over. So I'm beset by three females, which is okay. So guess what the gang is planning, Frank, to basically stick it up Lori's behind.
I have no idea.
They're all going to Indiana for a pedicure and manicure this week.
Well, that's the personal choice.
Yeah. Anyway,
You know, it's interesting. 50 years ago, Tom, I never would have thought that there'd be a time where I couldn't get a haircut and I could go out and buy pot legally if I wanted to.
Yeah. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's only right.
It's only right. They're forcing us back into the 60s.
Nobody's forcing us to do anything. You can cut your own hair.
I don't know how that
works. And you've always been able to smoke pot if you felt like it.
Well, provided, depending on what neighborhood you were in. And who was looking at you. Just saying. So even though we don't think temperature checks does anybody any good, that's one of the things now that we've got to do to open up anything.
I think what's even more disconcerting right now is that the Chicago Tribune came out with in the University of Chicago. This has to do with bars opening up, that they have discovered the virus in semen. We may be...
How could it not be?
Who knows? They said before, 2 months ago I read something, or a month ago, it shows that this is a moving target and knowledge is still building up, even though certain segments of our government don't want us to get that knowledge.
I gotta believe a cold germ is in semen. How could it not be?
I have no idea. Well, that's not my area of expertise.
Well, I don't.
It's only pop culture where I find this.
It's everywhere in your body.
You outstrip my biological knowledge there.
Well, I mean, how can one spot in your body be sacred with the germs everywhere else? Your blood's flowing everywhere.
That's
last time I checked.
Feet.
If it doesn't flow so hot, that's when you need the Viagra, right?
I wouldn't know,
Tom. Yeah. These people come up with these, but if this thing is 1,000 times more contagious through your mucous membranes than SARS, does anybody really care? You've infected the other person so much by the time you get, one would think, by the time you get to that point, oh God, I mean, why even do stuff like that? We haven't researched that. I mean, I don't know. Is it just, so how does, now here we have, we're redefining the world. I'm kind of switching away from that topic as fast as I can.
I'm sorry for opening that door.
Yeah, last time I checked, a depression isn't a recession of a drop of 1% or more for two quarters in a row, and a depression is what, 5 or 10? Maddie, why don't you look this up? So Powell says, GDP could shrink more than 30%, but he doesn't see another depression. What is he talking about? If we get on 30%, how is that not a depression? By anybody's definition other than his new one.
No, but wait until we come back and we start hearing, I've done such a great job. GDP was up 5% this month, new record.
Yeah.
We're going to hear that, Claude.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask John when he comes in. I'll lob this one out there for the listeners. One of the first real studies that I've seen in this country, that doesn't mean there haven't been, the first one that I've seen, Kevin sent to me on Friday. It has to do with the state of Indiana, the universities there, and I'll get the real ones. Actually did a random sample. How rigorous? They spent some time and money on it. It looks like they did a pretty good job. Let's just roll with the numbers for a second and not dig into the, did they get the guy or the guy wasn't there and they got the lady next door, who the hell knows, but they did a random sample, they put a sample together from the whole state, they realized their sample didn't have enough Hispanic and African American, so they put a few more of those people in there randomly, and went out with the intention of testing every one of those persons. And they came with a, come back with a number that 2.8% of the people in the state of Indiana have been affected, 1.7% had the disease, and 1.1% had the antibodies, so they have already had the disease. So we're up to 2.8%. So I'm going to say, Frank, as I mentioned to Maddie and Wayne, we have been, these numbers, we've been pretty much spot on the show. That's 11 times worse than the numbers that the state has given you for these random tests that people go in. And those numbers don't do anything for anybody that I don't, that I see anyway. I'm not leading a witness here. And that brings the number of deaths, the percentage of deaths, to 0.5%, which puts it five times worse than a fairly bad flu season. Now, if those numbers are correct, it says a lot, good and bad. The bad news, I guess, is after how many months of this, we're pushing six, only 2.8% of the population in Indiana has had a disease. That's not good, Frank. You were hoping, I was hoping for like 30%, but that's not, you're not going to bend any curve at 2.8%.
Okay, but what is it in Lake County?
Well, I don't know.
St. Joe County and Marion County.
Well, I'm sure there's pockets
there. Wayne County, Allen County.
I'm sure there's pockets.
Let's talk about the urban areas.
I'm sure that what I'm trying to do is I'm asking you some questions here.
Okay.
If those were the numbers countrywide, which we know they're not because there's got to be some hotbeds that are different. But then again, we don't know what the number is in Chicago. We don't know if the number's over 2.8% of the population. My suspicion is that it is. But I'll bet the number of how much worse it is than just by random tests or what they're, the half-assed way they've been doing it so far, it's probably 10 times worse, which is what you and I have been saying for months.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if the number of the fatalities is 0.5, does that constitute the panic crisis with everything shutting down like they're saying it is? Is five times worse than the flu enough to shut the whole world down?
I don't think so. I don't know. And I'm going to say because you just made a string of five conjectures.
I'm just looking at the numbers.
And so I'm saying no, but we don't know what the real number is.
Okay, but
what I'm saying, we're making a decision on five if statements.
No, I'm saying if those numbers are correct.
If it's that, and we're talking about Indiana. In a non-peer-reviewed study.
Okay.
And so
How do you know it's not reviewed?
I want to see. We are not collecting enough information, that's the bottom line. You and I have questions. They should be collecting it now. Any epidemiologist or social scientist could tell you that.
I'm trying to shift away from that. What I'm trying to ask you is everybody here, as I explained to Audrey's friend this weekend, she says, you don't know, I just heard some scientists say that you don't know if somebody who's already had it can't get it again. I said, okay, now listen, stop. I said, if you look at SARS, you look at MERS, you look at other coronaviruses, virtually every scientist will tell you, it appears that you get immunity for a couple of years, and if it comes back mutated, your immunity is a little weaker, and oh, by the way, it's changed a little bit. It might not be total immunity. It might be not as bad as the other guy who didn't have it. It might be a milder version. It might be something. But there isn't a scientist on earth that will tell you unequivocally the answer. He's going to say, I got to wait 2 years. How else can I tell you? Right? I mean, if you're a scientist, that's what you're going to say. So what I'm saying is we have all kinds of people that have pretty much shouted at me, Chief, don't you get it? This was a crisis. What I'm trying to say is, if we have perfect information, what constitutes a crisis? We're talking about dispensing freedom of religion. We're talking about dispensing freedom of assembly. We tore the shit out of the economy. And all of a sudden, now what's the number? If we knew the numbers, if is what I'm trying to get to, Frank. If we knew the number.
I don't get this freedom of religion thing, but go on.
Well, you can't go to church.
Sure you can.
Where?
The Pope has come out and said that you can. If you're Catholic. You and I are both raised as Catholic. Everything we want to do, that we need to do, can be done right now.
How? Do what? You can't have a funeral.
As far as worshiping.
You can't have a funeral.
You can. It's on TV. It's on the radio.
You can have a funeral on TV?
They're dead, Tom.
Okay. Okay.
That's not religion. What's religion is the last rites, and that's between God.
And you can't get a nursing home to do that.
That's not religion.
Well,
we shouldn't be in nursing homes. What, 30% of the deaths so far are in nursing
which
homes?
Which is stupidity on the part of some governments and some people, but some of the people I know who have parents in there are basically saying, bring me the L pill. I can't live like this. I'm locked in jail. I'd rather die.
Well, then let people in. They'll die.
Well, okay. But what I'm saying is, if we've done a lot of stuff here, and everybody knows I've been pressing this topic, but I actually want to know, okay, because I've had people yell at me, this is a crisis, don't you get it? I want to know what is the definition of a crisis? By Jay, by Trump, by Lori, by every other governor, what is it? Is it five times a regular flu? Is it 10 times? Is it 2 times? What is it? I mean, if all of a sudden this disease was here at 80%...
What's your definition of a pandemic crisis?
I don't think this is it.
And then there's probably something in between.
I don't think this is it. I'll tell you what, hopefully we're never going to get one, but what if this thing came through and 80% of the people weren't immune to it, damn near? What if it was smallpox and 40% of the people died?
That's why the nuns taught us a perfect act of contrition.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee.
You might be the only person who remembers
that. Go directly to heaven.
Wait a minute. I thought you had to give money to Notre Dame and get the indulgences.
Oh, no. I'm done with that. They don't need my money.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You gotta buy the... Manny, you were a Catholic education. What was the absolute get-out-of-jail card back in the Middle Ages?
It's giving money.
No, it was the plenary indulgence that wiped away your
right.
entire time in purgatory.
But now, the nuns taught us that the get-out-of-jail-free card was the perfect act of contrition.
Well, now, my question was, if you gave up somebody enough money in the Middle Ages to cough up the plenary indulgence, and you ride home on your horse and you flip somebody off, now, does that count for stuff you did after you gave the guy the dough, or what?
Probably. But you can't buy redemption anyway.
What do you mean?
Paying for a plenary indulgence is like paying Trump for tuition for college at Trump University.
It doesn't
work.
You don't think that the people who give millions of dollars to Notre Dame and these other Catholic schools think that they're getting some points for heaven?
Probably.
One of these days,
or they're trying to contribute to the common good. There is such.
One of these days, you're gonna buy a bazillion shares of XYZ. The thing's gonna go to 100. You're gonna be a billionaire, and the first thing you do is give money to Notre Dame because you feel guilt for making so much money, and you gotta you don't want to end up in any of those rings of hell. You want to go straight to heaven.
Well, no, you went the tax write off.
God,
come on.
Well, let's say what we've been saying here. The unemployment rate from people making less than 40 is 40%.
Azar says the problem is the health care for the minorities,
yeah.
Yet they're dismantling the Health Care Act.
Well, also this weekend I was reading about how the amount of people walking around that should have had some kind of heart procedure, some kind of stress test, some kind of whatever it is, routinely people go to hospitals to get. They're so far behind that they think the amount of the effect it's going to have on the general health of people, not including this virus, is going to be seriously detrimental. I wonder how much that's really true or not. Anyway,
you have to balance the fact that if they're going in for that, they probably have comorbidities. So if they had gotten the virus, would they have died anyway? I mean, this
hopefully you're not going to
have Iowa statistics time.
Hopefully you're not going to end up with a long COVID just because you went for a colonoscopy. That would not be good.
Well, I always fear that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, now, that's a comorbidity in my mind.
If Paul is correct, and all of a sudden we start opening up, the opening up goes halfway decent. Although I think if you want to put a restaurant out of business, tell the guy you can open with only 25% of the people. I mean, it's What would your bro say, Manny? You speak for him since he's not here. If you have 25% of the patrons, how many of the employees do you think you have to serve 25% of the pay? I got to believe it's 75%.
Yeah, he's essentially said you can't make, you can't open in, unless you're at least at 75% occupancy.
So who's
better off just to keep doing delivery and carry out?
So who's going to do it? Just the chains?
I mean, I don't know, but they would be the obviously the first candidates.
What do you suppose, changing gears here, I wish your bro was here, what do you suppose, like, in a an area, well, if you go by Audrey's place in Orland, there's all these, what do you call the thing that sits out in the parking lot of the big shopping center? Frank, there's a name for it. Footprint or whatever, the footprint kind of place.
The outlying lots, yeah. There where they have all the different restaurants?
Yeah. What do you suppose that lease, and every one of those places, since they're all gorgeous, when I say gorgeous, you might not like the decor, but they cost a fortune. What do you suppose, like, what's the fish place or the, you know,
Bonefish Grill? Yeah,
what do you suppose that the total tab is for a new bonefish, as nice as that place is? It's got to be well into the seven figures, isn't it? Easy.
I would think so.
And here's what Clay would be able to tell us, but I'm thinking 2-3 mil. I mean, that's a lot of shrimp. Maybe more than that. It might be like seven. With the TVs and the bar and the different rooms and all that stuff. I mean, those places, every one of them is terrific. I mean, when you look at them, there's no expense spared. I mean, the bathrooms are gorgeous, the kitchen's gorgeous. I mean, it's real stuff. But, so, those people, what do you suppose their nut is per day? Man, do you have a clue? I mean, there's no way between the rent to the Orland Mall or the taxes to Orland, And just general overhead. I mean, I can't even imagine how that place operates at less than, I'll bet they only make money on Friday and Saturday nights. The rest of the nights are probably break even. Manny, what do you think?
I think it's very possible. I would have no idea.
I mean, I think that you're right near the edge in those places, because of the amount of money you put into the place. Now, if you're talking about a mom and pop place that's been that owns the property, owns the place, and has been in the family paid off for 30 or 40 years. I mean, I got to believe those guys can hang in there. But these big companies, if you have 10 of those places, that's a hell of a lot of dough. I mean, I'm not surprised some of those people didn't try and get some of these, the things from the government. The big companies obviously are going to get bailed. They want to help the little companies, they claim. What do you suppose does happen to somebody in that middle ground? Somebody that has 3-4 restaurants, Manny. As Clay mentioned, is there any help for those guys of any consequence? And I don't know.
They qualify for the same help as everyone else.
But they're
based on their employees.
But if there's a company, it's a corporation. Those are the guys they're trying to get all the money back from. Like that place in New York.
Yeah, but they had more than 3 or 4 stores.
Okay, but I'm saying. But I'm saying if you had 300 or 400 employees, it had 3 or 4 locations. It's not like you're immune to this. You're worse shape, probably. Especially if they're new and you got leases on every place.
No one's immune to this.
No. I mean, so, I guess what I'm trying to
expect the GDP to go down 40% for this quarter, the second quarter.
How's that not a depression?
It's the spin. I don't know. Come on. You're asking fake media questions, news questions, Tom.
The spin, eh?
You don't love America, obviously, if you're asking that question.
Okay.
Go to China.
God. Go to China. I mean, we still keep talking good things about China. I don't know how that works out, but...
Who's talking good things about China?
We still have people talking about how they did a better job at combating the disease than we are.
Oh, I don't know if they're saying that. Maybe Korea.
All right, we got a new definition of depression. A depression is a sustained long-term downturn in economic activity in one or more economies. It's a more severe economic downturn than a recession. Just slowed our economic activity over the course of a normal business cycle. Well, this is clearly not a normal business cycle, so we can pull that one out of there.
Yeah, I looked up. There's no, to answer your question, there is no literal definition, like an actual percentage that, that separates the two. It's more one, a depression is a worse version of a recession, so it's open for interpretation.
Huh. Put that answer down on an econ test.
Exactly.
And get 5 out of 25 points.
Another proposed definition of depression includes two general rules. A decline in real GDP exceeding 10%, or a recession lasting 2 or more years. Well, by that definition, we're gonna be number one at least, right?
Yep.
We're already there. So, anyway, the
Far out number was the end of next year, so that's only 1 3/4 years. So, no depression there either.
So he obviously he knew the definition. He's a clever fellow.
He probably wrote it.
If,
God, these guys, come on, they change the definitions all the time.
Well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
When you're the man.
S&P futures up 47, NASDAQ futures up 129. We're going up today, which is good. I got everybody nice and long, so I'm happy. We'll be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering 3 of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Weber on the board. We have Mr. John Flanagan waiting in the wings. We have a nice rally going our way this morning. S&P futures up 45, NASDAQ futures up 124. It's after last week's pretty miserable week, even though we came back a little bit later in the week. The rest of the week was pretty lousy. Dow futures up 402. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 310. That's almost 3%. FTSE up 137. 2.3%. I'm sure some of this has to do with this stimulus package that continues to work its way through that Trump now says he's not all against, which means more money. CAC around up 99, 2.3%. As I've said, you can't be, even though the market, you know, the economy looks terrible, you can't be short here because whatever time there's market going down, Fed's going to do something. So you got to be careful. Nikkei up 96.5%. Shanghai up 6.2%, Hang Seng up 137.6%. We have bonds. Just so you know, on Friday, we're actually up 60 points in the Dow 11 in the S&P, but, the rest of the week was pretty much down the whole way. Bonds, 0.65, so you're still not getting any sort of rise in these interest rates to where you think that the bond market is agreeing with the stock market. I mean, the bond market's still saying serious recession, depression, you name it. Bund, minus 0.53, Japan, minus 0.01, oil, up 284 to 32.27. Brent up 2 to 34.57. I'll get the skew on this in a little bit. Natural gas up 9 cents, 173. RBOB over a dollar, 1.03. Man, here's a guy, a station out in Homer Glen. Everybody else is up to 219. I still got gas from this guy at 181. I have no idea where he's getting his gas. Gold up 16 bucks, 1772. Silver up 72 cents, 1779, and I'm so pissed off I just didn't buy calls in there. I tried to do a spread, never got it, and I'm not happy. Copper up 5 cents, 238, and Matty will not give you this because he's only going to give you half the weather, but if you look at the advanced hydrological study in Chicago, it is a sea of red. Every river around is in the, Des Plaines River is going to be within, a foot of a moderate flood. Normally it is 7 feet. It's going to be 14. We've got the Kankakee River near Wilmington. Normally 3 feet. It's going to be 9. So if you're anywhere near a river, you got issues. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash coming in on the Ryan right now at 87th Street, blocking the two left lanes. So that's causing some significant delays as you're coming inbound on the Dan Ryan from the south side. So keep that in mind. Just southwest of there, there's a crash on the outbound I-57 just before 111th Street. Dan Ryan to I-80 is up to 17 minutes as traffic delays slightly grow due to this crash on I-57. That's on the outbound side of I-57. No issues coming in on the Bishop Ford. Stevenson and Eisenhower looking okay, as are the Edens and Kennedy. Lakeshore Drive is looking good in both directions. Suburban tollways are all quiet as well. As Chief mentioned, all kinds of flooding throughout the area, causing some closures. US 41 up on the North Shore between Route 60 and Deer Path Road is closed due to flooding. So that's Route 41 that's closed. In the city, Diversity Avenue between Damon and Paulina, right at Clybourne there, is closed due to flooding as they work to get that off the streets. But all kinds of little closures out in the suburbs, especially to the south and west, due to the 24 hours of rain that we received over the last day or so. So give yourself plenty of time if you're heading out this morning. Weather today, we should be dry today. Could have some sprinkles this morning, but overall will be partly cloudy this afternoon. Cool, a high of just 59. Right now it's overcast and 57 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 100 today. Right now it's clear and 71. In sports, of course, the last dance ended yesterday. I won't give anything away, but guess what? Michael Jordan does hit the shot. And that's pretty much how it ended. The 10-part, 5-week series is now over. And Bulls fans will have to look for something else to watch on Sunday nights. Lastly, on this day in sports history, 1971, you might remember this, Chief. The Montreal Canadiens broke the Blackhawks' hearts again, winning in Chicago Stadium 4-2 in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals to beat the Hawks in the 71 Stanley Cup Finals 4-3. Chief.
I'm going to say that they could be, was that the team that had the record number of wins?
The Montreal team?
No, the Hawk team.
I didn't know the Hawk team had a record number of
they
wins.
Were the 7-8, like 70 wins or some incredible number. No, there was 70-game season back then. It was, I think they had 50-some wins or 60. That team had Bobby Hall and Esposito and all those guys on it. That was probably the best Hawk team ever. That's the year. It was 71 or 72. Might want to dig at that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll look.
You know you're in trouble on this flood map when some of the number the things are purple. And we got this is bad. I mean, Manny, how many flood events have we had in the last 5 years? More than like the last 40, right? I mean, like this, the Fox River and all those things, been like 3 times a year to flood.
It seems to happen at least every year. I don't know the history of it though, how far back it goes.
Well, the DuPage River downtown Naperville is in trouble. Fox River is actually not as bad, which is kind of rare, but although Algonquin Tailwater it is. Anyway, John, how are you?
Tom, I'm good. How about you?
I'm hanging. I'd say the weekend was interesting. Yesterday, just getting back from Orland, I was on Willow Springs Road, and we had to go through like a foot and a half of water there. Thank God I have the 3/4-ton Suburban. And then other spots, there was so much standing water on the road, you had to keep stopping, let other people go by because you couldn't just barrel through it. The viaduct was closed in Summit. It just poured. California Avenue was dropping somebody off, one of Odd's friends, and even California, all the way by Horner Park there. There were spots where only one car could go through because there was so much standing water. Then downstairs my place flooded a little bit last night, so I didn't get to watch The Last Dance. So it was clean water, though. But, you know, we put one of those, for a lot of money, one of those things that stops the city from backing up into your place.
Oh, yeah.
But I think what happened was it wanted to back up and the valve had to engage. But there's a spot under the front porch where there's a drain. And I think for the 10 or 15 minutes that the thing was fighting the backwash from the street, which would be sewer water, which you don't want, the place couldn't drain. So water came in the front door of the downstairs. But it was rainwater, at least. So it wasn't horrible. It just painted up behind. But, what have we had? 7 inches of rain the last 3 days or something?
I computed 7 inches on my rain gauge here, but just my little glass test tube thing out in the backyard between Thursday and yesterday. So I mean, that's an enormous amount of rain in that short of time period.
I was looking at a Chicago precipitation record. Still the record is, and this is this, I remember this. Maddie, imagine that, remembering a day. August 13th to 14th, 1987. The reason why I remember this is somebody was getting married in the OEX pit. I forget who the hell it was. And a bunch of the goofballs were all going to go to, I forget if it was Vegas or Atlantic City for the weekend for the stag party. This is back when everybody had money, right? And some of these guys had a lot of dough. So you can only imagine how bad the partying were going to be, right? But get a load of this. It starts in the afternoon on a Friday, and everybody's supposed to fly out after the close on Friday night. And the 9.35 inches in 24 hours is a lot of rain. Well, it absolutely is centered on the north side, because I think Midway only got like 2 or 3 inches, but the north side. So the blue line, you know, that tunnel, Maddie, you go under the expressway to get where it's above ground, and then it goes under right where Edens passes over.
Yep.
The tunnel's flooded, so the blue line doesn't work. The Kennedy right there is totally flooded, so you can't get there by car either to O'Hare. So these guys essentially can't go on their trip. This is before there were casinos here. Let's just say, somehow or another, between the strip joints, the bars, these guys spent all the dough that they were going to spend in Vegas somehow here in Chicago that Friday night. I don't know if there were any kind of illegal things involved, but how do you even thank God I wasn't invited. I mean, I don't so that's how I remember the day. Guess what the record is for 5 minutes? What would you guess, Manny?
The record?
Rainfall in 5 minutes.
3 inches?
No, 5 minutes? Jesus. 1.29 inches. That's a lot. August 24th.
When was that,
though? August 24th, 1976. The record for 30 minutes, 2.35 inches, July 20th, 1978. That's unbelievable. Two hours.
Whoa.
June 13th, 1976, 2 hours. What would you guess, Manny? 4.29 inches. Does your shower, you get 4 inches in the tub and your shower, I guess you would in 2 hours. But I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So there we go. So John, we've got some places opening up. The market's bouncing back from, last week. We got the house coming up with another plan. We got everybody in the world coming up with ideas. Mark Cuban, you name it. And everybody's spending money we don't have. And we have, all the girls on the south side that I know are planning on going to Indiana this weekend for manicures and pedicures. Just because you can't get them here. I'm going to try and contact one of my friends I know from the Tripoli that owned her own, hair salon. I wonder if she's still alive. I almost don't want to ask. I mean, this is pretty rugged. And I don't know I don't know what to buy here, John. I mean, my feeling is with the Fed still pouring money in, that you don't want to be short, especially after a couple down days like last week. You want to at least be leaning long a little bit if you can. But I think you got to be protected because the numbers, what did Paul say? 40% of people under $40,000 a year are unemployed. I don't know how you, those are numbers I can't even conceive of. So I don't even know how you can conceive of it coming back from there in any kind.
Well, and, you know, when you were discussing with Frank earlier and Maddie about definitions of depressions or recessions, that this doesn't fit any kind of economic model that I'm aware of, where on the face of it, everything is still healthy. I mean, you've got, we're riding the crest of you know, a very vibrant, you know, things were cooking along. Things weren't great, but they were better than they had been in the past. And now you've got this, like, it's like somebody wringing out a mop, just all of a sudden coming in and taking hold of the mop and wringing it out, and everything has just ground to a halt. And there's no reason for that other than artificial controls on businesses, you know, mass shutdowns, lockdowns, all in the name of you know, creating a healthy environment for people. But I just find this so unnatural and so strange that I've got to believe that the underlying system isn't in that bad a shape, but you can't let it, you know, function like this for very long without really screwing it up. And unless things come back in some kind of normal in the next month or two, you're looking at a seriously, you know, compromised system that will take, you know, generations perhaps to get back on track. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, to me, this is just a made-up crisis. And we can change back to what we had by fiat, just the way we.
I don't think you can, John.
If we have a will to do that,
I don't think you can. So many people are so paranoid. It's
well, and that's really the, I think part of the big problem here is that it's turned into a kind of emotional appeal and the shaming of people into doing painful, unnecessary things in the name of some, you know, ideal. That isn't realistic in any kind of a climate where you're not going to be safe from viruses in any kind of world, not the worlds we're familiar with, nor would you want to be free from viruses. But it's turned into this ridiculous fear campaign against this horrible unknown, and it's your neighbor who's your enemy, and this is completely ridiculous to me.
Young lady downstairs, we had, when you use the word ringer and mop, I wish you wouldn't use that because that went on last night for two hours.
That was not intentional.
It's not the best thing to say. She was saying one of her friends came by yesterday to drop something off because she's newly in the place, newly in the now clean floor place, and said the lady had not been out of her place in 42 days. And she was giving her a rash of grief about not wearing a mask like in her own place when the lady walked in. I mean, she's absolutely into this. Like, she's never going back to work until it's absolutely perfectly safe. And I think that's it's all over the place. I mean, it's absolutely all over the place.
Well, then they've been pushing that kind of mindset too, that you shouldn't be satisfied until you get a clean bill of health in every corner of your life, and we'll be the ones to give it to you. By the way, we'll tell you when that yeah. point is arrived. And I'm really resistant to that kind of control over people's lives. We don't have enough evidence that these people have made any real smart decisions of any consequence in quite a while, and we're going to give them, you know, control over our lives in ways they never could have enjoyed it before. I think we're the stupid ones then.
Well, I'm curious about every, of course, when you have, when I use the term press, again, I'm not in the same, anywhere near the same boat that you and Kevin and Lou are regarding, you know, the, who's on what side of whatever and the press front, and this press is this and the press is that. Because I was listening to one of Audrey's friends tell me that for 2 days. And she's talking about the press and the deep state, whatever. I said, I'm going to agree with you for a minute that there are people behind the curtain. There's no doubt in my mind that there's people that are actually pulling the strings to some extent. I said, why you continually assume that they care what party they're in and whether they're all going to be Democrats because you think they're all bad people and Republicans are good people. I said, if I had that kind of power and was the man behind the man behind the man, I would care less what party I was in. Why would I care? Do you think Caesar had a party, a political party he cared about? He was the emperor, for God's sake. But this whole idea all day long that you have three or four competing channels that really are not news channels, they are looking for ratings. And if there's anything that possibly, if somebody were to say, we can all go back to work tomorrow, immediately they're going to show somebody on the sidewalk someplace. And the guy that I asked Maddie to get on the show, and of course the guy, I was getting no one to grief because the guy's been dead for 13 years. It'd be one hell of an interview. But the article he wrote regarding the pandemic in, what it wasn't a pandemic, the Jerry Ford era, he says, this is back in the 70s. He was talking about the news media the way it is. He goes, no matter what it is, if you start giving a, shots, you know, if you come up with some kind of a cure, vaccine, he says someplace, somewhere, you're going to give a shot to a 75-year-old guy that's going to have a heart attack the next day. He goes, it's going to happen. And somebody's going to pick it up on the news. Manny Weber's great-grandfather, crazy, went down to the place, never been sick a day in his life, and he got this shot. The next day, he killed over from heart attack. Guess what? 75-year-old people, unfortunately, kill over from heart attack. So he goes, it's going to happen when you start giving vaccine to 100,000 people in a day. It's a question of how you're treated by the press, whatever, whatever. He goes, maybe the vaccine does make things a little bit worse, which is very probable for a vaccine because you're giving somebody a little bit of something, right? It's not like it wouldn't work if it was a total placebo. So he says, no matter where you are when you start doing it, but now it seems to me that if Trump says something intelligently, which he does once in a while, doesn't matter. Or if he says something dumb, which he does, I think, more than once in a while, his people still love him. Or the other people still hate him when he says, he could walk out today and say, it's not raining. Well, it's not. And somebody's going to say, oh, man, it's got to be raining if you just said it. So, I mean, I don't know what these stations are, John, but what Dr. J said to us, if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, you've got at least three places, maybe more, that the entire day they're trying to find essentially stuff that is more crazy than the other. You know, the movie with Tina Fey in and about how in Afghanistan, how every week they had to get something more and more crazy and more violent just to get it in the news. I mean, that movie I thought was scary in that regard. I mean, I guess if I thought about it, I would have said, well, I suppose this makes sense. But actually seeing it happen, the risk she was taking and forcing the people around her to take just to get it on page two because nobody cares about Afghanistan anymore. I mean, the same thing's happening here, right? I mean,
well, there's no appeal in having nonpartisan reporting coverage of any event, because there's no people would be uninterested in watching that, for one thing.
Sort of like our show.
They like to be in a cheering squad. You know, every viewer or follower of the media feels like there's people I'm rooting for, there's people I want to see, take a fall. And that's a primitive instinct, but it's become what news coverage is all about. And it's the money happens to be right now against bashing anything that comes out of Washington, even sensible stuff. If you were to listen to Pritzker and Lightfoot, there's no point in giving any credence to what comes out of Washington. And that's a dangerous position ever to be in, because you may need Washington. Certainly Illinois is going to need Washington more than any other state before they're through. So they better be careful who they bash. But people would not want to watch news coverage that doesn't, take sides and make somebody the villain and make somebody the saint. And we've just thrown any kind of interest in news coverage out the window. It's not about the news. It's just about stirring ancient hatreds and prejudices and grudges.
Put another way, people will pay for information, not affirmation, not information.
Yeah.
Well, and Frank is... always on the side that, he's not here so I can quote him. He's always on the side that whatever good or bad happens comes from the top. The leadership is more that somebody sets the tone. I go with him a little bit on that. But, if he was talking, if he was still on, he would say, okay, nothing's ever happened that was Trump's fault. It's Obama's fault, it's Bush's fault, it's Clinton, it's somebody before him. It's a center disease control that he inherited, blah, blah, blah. Well, you walk right down the chain. Nothing's Jay Powell's fault. He didn't get enough help from Washington. Nothing's Lori's fault. You didn't get enough help from here or there. It doesn't matter what party they are. The sound is the same. The snipes are grousing. It's always somebody else's fault. I didn't get enough tests for Washington. I didn't get enough this. I tried to bid for Mass, but by the way, I got outbid by Indiana. Now it's their fault. There's never any one of these guys. I was talking to a lady, Audrey's fan. I was driving her home yesterday, and she says, we are seriously different in one way. And I go, what's that? And she goes, on the trading floor, you got used to looking in the mirror and saying, it's your fault, you dummy. You were short and the market went up. She goes, people in other walks of life, it's never their fault. Especially politicians. It's never their fault. I didn't see this coming. I didn't do it. I could have done this better. That's why you won't see Jay Pritzker ever back off on the, two people in a yacht story when you drive there with your family. You'll never have him say, well, geez, if a husband and wife drive to the golf course, they ought to be able to share the same cart. They never will. They won't, not even a shred. Of any kind of, and it's not even a mistake. It's just, hey, I didn't read this carefully enough. We did it fast. Now we're going to fix it. People can deal with that. But when was the last time Trump ever said he did anything wrong? Ever? I don't know that Jay and Lori pick up on, but obviously it's working for Trump. Every time he says something, he blames it on a Democrat. At least he hasn't mentioned Hillary in a while, because I'm sure it's her fault too, even though she's never been really in office. But they're all doing the same thing, John. It's not the alderman's fault.
It's always been that way in democratically elected governments, because otherwise you wouldn't have had the flip flop that you've seen with the major political parties in this country, where Democrats used to be the party of segregation and states' rights, and Republicans were Reconstruction and affirmative action for African American voters, and so who would have thought that in 100 years that whole picture has completely flipped, and that until 1932 the African American support for the Republicans was legendary. After 1932, it's never returned, and that's maybe farther from ever returning to the Republican Party in its history. But this is what happens when you get this constant push and pull, and nobody admits anything, nobody confesses to making mistakes, because they know it's just ammunition for the next side to use against them in the nearest election. So when you get enough of that push and pull, you get, it's like a flip of the magnetic poles or something. It becomes, you're unrecognizable to yourself. Your polarities don't even register anymore. And that's not unusual in a democracy. It's probably inevitable, but it makes for very uncomfortable governing, especially when you're in a crisis and you can't get agreement or any kind of cooperation to, you know, get rid of some of the pain and shorten the suffering that people are going through. Now it just becomes a method of prolonging it for people.
Well, if you don't like that party, you listen to the candidate long enough till he says something you disagree with, and you stop listening, and that's the one thing you think about the person for the rest of their life.
Right.
I mean, my dentist, I'll be real quick with this, I'll listen in a minute. He's, when Bush ran against, who was he ran against first time? Gore? He couldn't believe that I voted for Gore, because I'm a Catholic, and this guy is, how could you vote for somebody who's not, doesn't want to, you know, get rid of Roe versus Wade? So, a couple years later, when Bush invades Iraq, the guy's beside himself. He's the nicest guy, but Dennis, he's gonna be 75. And he goes, I said, Doc, looking right in the eye, I said, Doc, when you're a single issue voter, you gotta take the good with the bad. And he looked at me and he goes, you know, you're absolutely right. I understand that. My wife doesn't. He goes, I get it. I voted for him because of the abortion issue, and here it is 2 years later. He's leading us into a war we have no business being in. He goes, yeah, I understand. You know, but that's the, anyway, S&P futures is up 69 now. Wow. S&P futures up 17181. We're putting the whip to it this morning. That would be nice. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. It's Matt Weber on the board, Mr. John Flanagan on the phone. S&P futures, get a load of this. We're up 72 points. NASDAQ futures up 181. And I'm going to say the reason for that, this latest jump, and actually some very good news. Of course, who knows how many of these newses we're going to have along the way down next year or so. Moderna stock surges 30% after reporting positive data, an early-stage coronavirus vaccine trial. Now, what this vaccine is trying to do is create, trick your body into producing antibodies for the vaccine, either if you have it, help you produce more antibodies to help you fight it, or to just produce vaccine so you don't, or antibodies so you never get it. So they started with, 25 microgram, 100 microgram, or 250 microgram dose. 15 people in each dose group. Study participants received two doses of the potential vaccine via intramuscular injection in the upper arm. That means a needle goes far enough in to hit your muscle. Approximately 28 days apart. Data on a second dose is not available for the 200 blah, blah, blah. At day 43, or 2 weeks following the second dose, levels of binding antibodies in the 25 microgram group were at the levels generally seen in blood samples from people recovered from disease. Antibodies in the 100 microgram groups, antibodies significantly exceeded level in recovered patients. Well, that's pretty spectacular news if it works for more than 15 people. You want to know a little known bizarre, when they talk about an intramuscular injection. Jan, I used to, when you want an intramuscular injection when we were young, you basically got it in the butt, right?
Right.
The reason why they don't do that anymore is because everybody's gotten so fat that the needle that they used...
make needles long enough.
I read this thing once. I couldn't believe it. This must have been on a rainy Saturday. Said you would need a needle like an inch and a half longer than you used in the 50s. Manny, do you believe that? That is spectacular. The people have gotten that much fatter since like the 50s and 60s. But they... Do you ever see pictures? There's a White Castle... I don't know how, whatever reason, why I stopped into the place. It's like the first one in Chicago area. It's down in, it's right across the border over where the steel mill used to be. They had a picture, Jan, of the people who opened the place in like 1930 something. They had like 15 people in the picture. There isn't a person in that picture that's over 145 pounds.
Because they weren't stopping at White Castle.
They weren't stopping, or they were working harder or something, but I mean, the difference in, what do you figure the average person is now heavier than 30 years ago? 25 pounds?
Oh, my 70? God. 50 to 100 pounds, probably.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I remember, too, you know, and it used to be that, you know, when if you just had one of your classmates in grade school who was on the pudgy side, there was no end of the abuse or jokes that were made. It was so unusual to see an overweight person. They really stuck out in a crowd. They kind of made you, you know, they startled you. And to see somebody morbidly obese was just, it was like freak show stuff. You weren't, you know, you didn't see enough of that to normalize it. And now, of course, nobody, you know, pays any attention to it because everybody sort of looks like, you know, they've put on more pounds than they should. And we've just, you know, been acculturated to accept it.
When I was in high school, I was the one who was always heavier than I wanted to be. And I was 6'1", and I think I was 190 pounds. That's not even...
That's fighting weight. You know?
Yeah, that's fighting weight today. And yet I thought I was, you know, ridiculous. You know, I was way too heavy. I mean, you look at pictures of even Jackie Gleason now. When all he did was say how fat he was in the Honeymooners, he didn't even look fat today.
No, I don't. My dad was turned down twice for the draft in World War II because he was underweight. He was 6'3", and was at 130 pounds.
Oh, that's pretty light. Yeah, that's pretty light.
Emaciated.
Well, and then my dad was, when he went in the Army, he was 6'2", and I think he was 165, 170, something like that. I mean, that's unheard of now. I mean, well, Maddie, you're still that, right?
I'm 6'3", 192.
Imagine people skinnier than you? Because you're in terrific shape.
I mean, people are a lot taller now than they were 50 years ago, too. Like, a lot. But definitely fatter as well. I'm trying to find data to, like, in a chart by decade here, average U.S. male height and weight. I bet we're several inches taller than we were in 1950, and I bet we're a lot fatter.
The height jump, I think, happened a generation ago. If you ever seem to want to see a wacky picture, John, I have a picture of my Italian group where all the people came over from the old country and then their kids. Virtually everybody who came from the old country was 5'7", and all the kids are 6 foot or higher. Not even close. So I don't know if it was something to do with the food or whatever, but I mean, a lot of my mother's cousins and stuff, that generation, one of my cousins was 6'5", bigger than me. They're all big. And these are Italians. And, you know, yet their parents were all 5'7". As scary as that is, I don't know what causes that necessarily, but, alright, so, let's hope this thing works, but, Jan, if the numbers out of Indiana that Kevin sent us on, Friday, again, real briefly, they did a random sample in Indiana. How good it was, I don't know. Universities did it. Let's say it's the first that I've seen attempt to really see what the state was dealing with. Now, this is Indiana. It's not Illinois. It's not New York. And they came up with numbers that said they got 2.8% of the population that has been affected. 1.7 has the disease currently. This is the end of April, so 3 weeks ago. 1.1% has the antibody, so they did have it. And 0.5% is the death rate. Now they said, okay, if a vaccine does come up and the death rate is 0.5%, are you going, in keeping with our theme before the break, are you going to try and force people to take this vaccine to drive that number down to, you know, 0.3 from 0.5? Because if you have the number, that's a terrific vaccine. But are you going to get 300 million people to take this vaccine that you rushed out of someplace? Matter of fact, I was listening to one of the Trump people last night, and he was talking about how what they're going to do is they're going to get vaccines out of four or five companies by the end of the year, and they're essentially going to do the tests in the general population. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of people that are not going to go for that. I mean, I'm saying if these numbers from Indiana are correct, do you want to risk vaccinating 200 million people to drive a number from 0.5 down to 0.3 or 0.2? I don't know the answer.
I don't see it happening, and I'm not compelled to get a vaccine like that. This is what's bothersome to me about the way that the debate is being framed. It's all about playing your part in some kind of statistical total that you need to, you know, volunteer for a vaccine, get the result, you know, that they hope you have, and that you don't get the disease, and you're now proof for more people to get the vaccine. I mean, this is not about really keeping people healthy. It's about fulfilling their agenda of making the vaccine acceptable, and it's, to me, it's like, well, if you don't wear a mask, you're part of the problem, which I think is just terrible. So, you know, to put that kind of shame on people, that isn't the way you want to promote good health, is by villainizing people who are not persuaded by your statistics, especially when the statistics are so full of holes anyway. And to attack a vaccine program on that kind of ground, I think is they're done before they start. I don't see there being any kind of groundswell of people to get.
One of my buddies said the guy behind him in Home Depot sneezed, John, and if I had a gun, I would have shot him.
Yeah, that's the kind of mentality, though, that is going to, you know, be used to force people to get a vaccine.
Careful, though. He's Irish. He's from the south. He's Irish. He's from the south side, so careful. You know. Just saying. That's saying yours like that, but
there's so little. I mean, vaccines have traditionally been, you know, the source of suspicion for a lot of people, especially when they're produced in this kind of, you know, environment under crisis mentality. We got to get something out.
Well, then they're telling you
that isn't how you ever make for reliable, dependable vaccines.
Well, they're telling you straight out that you are going to. They're preparing you right now. you're going to be the guinea pig. If we think it works, we're not going to have the 1 year, 2 year testing. We're just going to get it out there. Now, and this is what I was trying to determine earlier with Frank, which is, you know, kind of difficult sometimes, but if the numbers are, of course, he accused me of having too many ifs in there. If the numbers are 0.5% of the people die, puts it five times worse than a bad flu, is that enough to be essentially crisis, martial law, shut the economy down? I mean, I don't know what the number is. I mean, if it's 2% of the people dying, I'm going to say, yeah, probably. 1.5, probably. I don't know where I go with 0.5%, John. I really don't. I mean, I think, especially when you start looking at certain of, and even in the nursing homes, all I'm doing is hearing about blowback there. If I'm never going to see my family again, kill me now. One of my guys, that's what his mother told me.
Yeah, just skip the nursing home part of it. Just, yeah. You know, put a bag over my head. And
yeah.
I mean, make it easy on everybody, especially me.
I mean, one of the listeners from Indiana, I don't know how she logged down to the show, but she did. She sends me an email once in a while. Said actually in Ohio, last Sunday she went to see her mother in nursing home. She's no kid. She's over 60. And she goes, we sat outside. We wore masks. We were a few feet apart, and they wheeled her out, and she sat in a wheelchair. We sat in a couple chairs, her and her daughter. We had a nice visit. You know, mom realized why they're doing what they're doing, but at least we got to see each other and so forth, and you got to see the grandkid, and, 7 feet away, there was no big hug or anything. She goes, but at least they did something. You know, this idea of nothing, it'll be months before you get to see your mother. You know, Jan, that's cruel and unusual punishment. That's like being in solitary in jail, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah. That's cruel and unusual punishment masquerading as health care.
Yeah, we need to figure this out. We're better than this. I mean, a nursing home, assisted living home that you're paying $6,000 or $7,000 a month to, has got to find a way. They got to have a room somewhere or outside where you can put. I mean, I keep telling this story when I went to the. We used to go to the First Look. You ever go to that, Jen? The First Look, Manny. You have, haven't you? The thing at the auto show.
Yeah, I have.
Where you put you went with your
black tie.
Yeah, you went with your company 2 years ago, didn't you, or something?
No, I used to, when I was at the Score, we used to do remotes from.
Oh, that's right.
From the auto show. So I've been to the First Look, and I've been to the regular weekend.
Because the First Look's kind of neat, Jan, because everybody goes the night before, and there's, you know, booze and food all over the place. And so it's the biggest charity event in Chicago by far. And anyway, so we used to go to they were the Illinois Lung Association, and so. Somehow they got in a fight with the National Lung Association and couldn't call themselves the Lung Association. There's fights everywhere. And then they became the owner of Respiratory something something. But they had this big, what do you call it, big wall of all these pictures, historical pictures. Well, the reason for these lung associations, I mean, I don't really remember. This is before my time. When I was I remember as a kid, the polio stuff, you know, to where, you know, your parents... Talk about making decisions, not bringing kids to the beach, not getting too close to people. I mean, people made those decisions before, John, right? I mean,
yeah.
they just weren't told because nobody wanted their kid to get polio, iron lung, oh, God. So, anyway, before that, the big heavy was TB, tuberculosis. Until, it's not penicillin, it's what is it, erythromycin or one of the amycins that was the silver bullet against TB, right? But it wasn't penicillin or some of the other ones. Well, they had classes. These kids are having classes. The schoolhouse, it's a country schoolhouse. Dan, there's snow on the ground. There's no walls or ceiling to the place. They're having class. There's 30 kids and there are 20 kids in this rural schoolhouse. There's no walls or ceiling for fear somebody's going to get TB. So they didn't wear masks or anything like that like we're doing now, but they were outside. Can you imagine in fourth grade sitting there in January shivering your fanny off outside and a teacher giving you some long story about how to diagram a sentence? You're like, what do I need this for? I can't imagine how much fourth grade could have been, and that would have been it outside. But
the place I go to for early voting, which I don't go to very frequently, but I have had to use it a couple times, it's up here on the northwest side in the old Metropolitan Tuberculosis Sanitarium on Pulaski, which is, you know, around Bryn Mawr. And the building where the voting machines are set up is the old, like, central building of the sanitarium. And the entire building, it's one of the most unusual spaces I've ever seen. It's entirely windows on two opposite walls. Enormous room, like a gymnasium-sized room. But there's pictures that I've seen where every window in this building is open, and the building is, the whole room is filled with people in wheelchairs, in, you know, dressed in just, you know, like hospital kind of garb, with nurses walking around. The fresh air was deemed very beneficial to tuberculosis patients, to influenza victims. You had a better chance of beating the disease if you weren't cooped up in an overheated room. And a lot of places took this to extremes, like the outdoor classroom idea. But you know, fresh air is a good germicide. You know, the first thing I do when I leave a store these days is take the damn mask off so I can get a breath of air, because it gets some sunlight, the stuff I haven't had access to, even on a good day in Chicago lately, but certainly you don't get it when you're inside. And that's just basic good health and hygiene, too. And that's somehow, you know, being lost in the discussion here. It's all about artificial aids to, you know, longevity, staying cooped up, not seeing people, not socializing, not being out and about, staying indoors. That's extremely unhealthy advice.
I was reading some stuff on the Spanish flu that started in Fort Riley, Kansas, but we keep calling it the Spanish flu. Actually, there's a reason for that, because when it went to Europe, it mutated and came back. So when it came back, it wasn't exactly the Fort Riley, Kansas flu. So there's a reason for that. I don't want to give the whole story if I'm going to give the story. But they had these tent cities set up for these people. And somebody decided along the way that on a nice day, if you wheeled everybody outside the tent rather than inside, and everybody got some sun and some fresh air, that the recovery was a better and shorter. And, you know, little stuff like that that nobody... But, Jan, from an economic point of view, it's hard for me. Normally I'll say, gee, I had this in class, University of Chicago, blah, 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 and I'll lob a truism at you. Say, well, you know, you don't have that background. I'm going to say that despite the talking heads you're going to hear all day long, everybody's an expert, X an expert, I'm going to say nothing in any of my studies has prepared me to predict what's happening now. I will say this, that you would think that the market would go down by 40%, because these companies, you don't know if they're going to be in business. But when you have the Fed pouring money in like they are, we're going to stay up for a while. Now, whether or not the Fed can keep it going enough to where the economy starts to come back a little bit, to where they can stop doing what they're doing and the market goes down a little bit and it hangs there for a while and then we start growing a year or two from now, that would be the ideal situation, I think, what the Fed's trying to do. Okay, but there's a real chance that that won't happen unless it becomes so specific to a few firms, which is what we're seeing, the concentration in the market. I mean, is Boeing going to survive? I mean, I sure as hell hope so. They're our biggest exporter. They employ a gazillion people and pay a lot of those people well. They're still union wages. They're headquartered here in Chicago. The last thing I want is for Boeing to go out of business. If they couldn't have shot themselves in the foot, the timing of this couldn't be any worse for them, right? It's like they pissed the big guy upstairs off somehow. Now, the same day that they got 400 planes on the ground, they can't give away because they can't fly, all of a sudden we get a pandemic. I mean, you couldn't write a book like that, right, without somebody thinking you're nuts. Yet, it's happening. Now, how many more $1 billion do these guys need of other people's money? They've blown through how many billion? $10 billion or some number of debt. And you mentioned earlier that the economy was humming along. I'll say the same thing I said Friday, and I'll say the same thing I said on Joan Esposito's show. If you look at half the people, maybe 60% of this economy, just like we don't care about the people under 40,000 being out, he didn't say we don't care, being out of work. I'm going to say that a significant part of the population never recovered from 2008, never even really recovered from 2000. And to the point where you've had people with virtually no raises for a decade. And it's the time for this to happen. Now, whatever happens, if if the best thing in the world happens is Moderna vaccine is out in October, people actually take it, or the treatment gets down to the point where we're pretty well open and nobody cares about wearing a mask anymore. Could we come back from that? Yeah. But I mean, the debt levels are still there. The person who was making, I'll get the number here. The person who was making $36,000 10 years ago, and it's still making $37,000. I mean, could he handle a $2,000 increase a month in his property taxes? I don't see how he can, Dan. The numbers just don't tell me how he can.
I'm with you. I mean, I didn't mean to be overly optimistic and trying to return to what we had before, because that was no good either. And what we have now is a shakeout from that. And what will happen now is, you know, as you say, all bets are off. I don't think there's a normal that we've ever seen before that we're inching towards that is going to be good for as many people as what we had before was, and that was not that good for most people. It will be a tougher environment to open a business of any kind and to keep it running. And you add all the debt and all the foiled hopes and stalled energy, that is just a negative no matter how you cut it. I just don't see that translating into some kind of burst of productivity or optimism. I don't think we're going to come back to what we had, bad as that was, anytime soon. And what we'll have to settle for is something we really had no interest ever in seeing, long-term or short-term, and we may just have to put up with it for a while.
Well, Danny, that's worrisome to me. It comes down to, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Just, again, I'm going to flip my economic, what I've read, which is, you know, I'm not Jay Powell with 95 different PhDs. Actually, he doesn't have a PhD in economics, does he? But people around him all do. I'm going to say that if you look at our history before this, we had these panics. We had the crash of 29. Just so happened that the crash of 29 happened when, up until like, I don't know, there's only been one other time, 2000, the percentage of wealth in the top 1 or 2 or 5% of the population hit a record like the month of the market crashed in 1929. Very few people either remember that or read it. Nobody's going to remember it. Nobody's around, but have read that. And the same thing happened like in 2000. In the middle class, if you look at all of economic history, you know, the middle class, and you could say it was probably the U.S.'s finest hour, economically. Because I think, again, this is an opinion, it's much healthier to have 1,000 people buying bass boats than it is to have 4 people buying super yachts. I mean, I think it is. I mean, it's just in terms of, But I'm going to say that some combination of the war being over, the GI Bill for sure, the greatest upper movement ever in history, in economic history, is the idea of a real strong middle class going to be a once? There's never else in history, I don't think, that you can say you could even point to one. Maybe London a couple times, but. I mean, is it going to be a phenomenon from 1948 to 1990 or 1985 in America? They're going to say someday, 100 years from now, they're going to say, what was the middle class? Here's what it was, and here's when it happened, and here's where it happened. Because clearly it's not happening now. I mean, I'm looking at the median income, and this is my median income, 2000 median income now, Janet, could you hazard a guess? This is median income of one person. Now, median, not average, not mean.
Well, 50,
60? Per person. For family, you're right. 55, 56 per family.
Per person.
All right, so here's the issue.
30? 35?
34? Very good, by the way. Guess what it was in 2000?
50?
30.
30? Okay.
Yeah, so we're talking up 4,000. A median price of a new home now, 322, in 2000, 164. How we doing?
Sheesh.
Yeah.
And I gotta what believe, are we not doing?
I'm going to say healthcare in 2000 was for a person or family. I'm going to say a person was probably 175. Okay, and now it's probably 800. for a family, it was probably $300-$400, and now it's $1,500. How's he doing on that one, too? I mean, the numbers are astronomically against people that in the middle of the group versus what we like to think that it is. And yet, you know, I mean, they're not even close. I mean, these people need to be making $50,000 just to be close to where this other stuff went in the last 20 years. And I don't see anybody. I just read an article this morning when we first came in about how people that have not lost their jobs right now are working long hours and working harder. It means they're covering for people that got laid off, which means it's a de facto cut in pay, right?
Exactly right.
Yep. Exactly right.
That's exactly what's going on, too.
That's exactly what's going on. So we have yet another cut in pay for people. I mean, how many times you have 50 people working, you lay off 5, you got the same amount of work, nobody gets a raise. What'd you do? You lowered their wages. You're not even. I mean, come on. John, thank you very much. Thank you for covering on Friday. Who knows? You might have to cover some this week.
Anytime, Tom.
All right, buddy. S&P futures. However, this is the great news. Up 80 points. A lot of this is because of the vaccine early trials. At least nobody died. That's a good thing. NASDAQ futures up 188 and seems to be working. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. David Andelman here in a second. We've got the market way up here. We were up like 40 when we came in, so we were kind of cheering that, and all of a sudden we jumped another 35 as Moderna came out with some positive data on some of their vaccine. It shows that the vaccine, it's not really designed, it's kind of interesting, it's not really designed to stop the virus from entering or getting it on the way in. What it's designed to do is create antibodies, so you create your own, and it appears to be doing that at various doses in a very small sample. So we've been down this road before. We had to think about Abbott Labs test, going to test everybody in 5 minutes, and all of a sudden that thing is spewing out false negatives where people are complaining the White House is using that and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of stuff has been a dead end, but this one this morning looks good. 35 points in the S&P, good for sure. Dow up 668. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 401 now, 3.8%. FTSE up 176. Moderna's been at the front of this pretty much the whole way, so you might almost want to believe these guys, and David will talk about them in a second. It's one of his stocks that he picked earlier. Early, I'm saying, like in January, February. FTSE up 176, 3%. CAC around up 151, 3.5%. Over in Asia, they were closed when this happened, so not much. Nikkei only up 96. Many, it's got to be a traffic event. It's 0.5%. Shanghai up 6.2. Hang Seng up 137.5. So like I say, Asia missed the Moderna news. Bonds, 10-year 6.66. So they're not celebrating. Wood minus 0.52. And then Japan minus 0.01. We've got oil up 257 to 32. Brent up $1.92 to 34. I don't know what month that is. We'll get that number out of... I think we must have jumped a month here. We'll get that from David. We got gold down 80 cents now. It was up like 17 bucks earlier. And this news came out and turned gold the other way. Silver up 50 cents. Silver's been the one that's running. Copper up 6 cents, 239. Maybe what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still working on that crash. Coming inbound on the Dan Ryan just before 87th Street, a crash that's been blocking the two right lanes for the better part of an hour this morning. So a significant crash there. Expect some delays as you're coming inbound on the Ryan approaching 87th Street. No issues on the outbound side. Looks like that earlier crash on I-57 on the outbound side at 111th is all clear, so that's good news. The Stevenson and Eisenhower are looking good, as is the Bishop Ford. Kennedy and Edens have been relatively quiet all morning. Same for Lakeshore Drive in both directions. As we mentioned earlier, we do have all kinds of flooding throughout the area. US 30 is closed between 127th and 143rd out west. And then up north, Route 41 is closed between Route 60, which is Kennedy Road, and Deer Path Road. So up in the northern suburbs, Route 41 is closed. So all kinds of little flooding issues in the city and out in the outlying areas. So give yourself plenty of your time as you're heading out this morning. Weather today, some fog and haze and clouds early, but we should dry off after very wet, you know, 24 to 36 hours that we've had here this weekend. We'll reach a high of just 59, but should see some sunshine this afternoon. Right now it's cloudy and 57 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 100 today. Right now it's clear and 72. Chief.
I'm checking the futures oil price. Hello, David. We've got the June contract here is $32. And if you go way out, we go as high as 35. But this spread was, at one point, was $11 in the June to 31 out till next year. And it's now gone from 32 to like 35. So There's still some contango, but nothing, nothing at all like it was 3-4 weeks ago. So that market, at this point, I'd say is uninteresting, David. It's not like people are selling stuff below zero now.
No, and supposedly, I mean, you'd have to ask Mr. Shanahan or an industry expert, but supposedly $32 is like the break even for, I don't know, 60-65% of the, oil firms. So, like, when you look at, and you see, front month at 32.12 and July at 31.95 and August at 32.30 and September at 32.78, I mean, they're all pretty much $32 or slightly above. That spells, good things. Break even is certainly better than huge losses, as well as their debt. I mean, I would think that, things like the, small bank ETF, and you could see the Russell responding because there's a lot of, small and regional banks in that index as well. So it's, that's a big boost.
Well, I certainly don't want to be, doggy downer on this stuff, but people somehow or another, David, and I'm not accusing you of doing it because you just didn't. You're talking about, you put out break evens and those kinds of things. Okay, and I think they're totally accurate, and they're something everybody should listen to. Yet, if you follow a firm, I mean, we get this idea, sometimes it even gets so ridiculous listening to the talking heads where, like, China will be basically in the commode on April 15th, and then August, April 23rd, you'll have some, knucklehead say, looks like China's back, they've turned the corner. China can't do anything in 7 days. I mean, what can they possibly do with 1.5 billion people in 7 days? I mean, we have the rig counts from where does that come from? Baker Hughes rig counts. Now, these are places that that people have money where they've bought the property, they're paying, they're leasing it, they're doing something, and they had rigs on these places. Now they've shut the rigs down because we were down to a spot where they couldn't make any money. We're down from 700 and some rigs to like 200 and some. I think it was last Thursday, David.
I think it was like seven, eight weeks in a row they declined.
Yeah, so the person now who doesn't have this rig going that has debt to pay, or he might already have filed. I mean, the idea that we're somewhat back to a reasonable price, like David talks about, to where if he could have hung in there, if your Aunt Nell had a mustache, she'd be your Uncle Ned, something like that. I mean, if all that could have happened, but this is so serious in some areas, there's people that have already gotten their feet cut off here. Right. I mean, it's.
Oh no, and beyond that, just because we look at the board, and that's what New York Mercantile Exchange or whatever posts or the Globex and the Merck. Now that doesn't mean in Cushing, Oklahoma, or Houston, outside of Houston, Texas, or wherever where they actually have the stuff that it's priced at that at what's showing on the futures board. We know that it's a substantial discount to that.
Well, and even if you look at Schlumberger, my one I love to pick on, because the stock is it should be. With oil up today like this, stock is up 88 cents. It's up 5%, 5.5% to 1683. Okay, it doesn't look like it's going to be 75 anytime soon.
No.
I mean, we're talking about, yes, is this somewhat of a bounce off the bottom of the well? Yes. And if somebody somehow was able to not have any problems, either shutting down or he was at a stage where he didn't have to pump or anything, and all of a sudden today he says, hey, my cost is is 20, and I can sell it here at the wellhead for 24, and by the way, it cost me $8 per barrel to get it to wherever the hell it's going, Alabama coast or New Orleans or someplace where refineries are. I might as well start working. It's not as good as if it's 40, but at least it's better than sharp stick in the eye. I mean, there are those people out there. There's also somebody who let the thing go, was pumping along merrily, making some money, and then all of a sudden he had to stop the rig. He'd borrowed too much. He'd started another well when he shouldn't have. I mean, whatever it is, there's a zillion people that make up this economy. It's like cells in the body, for God's sake. So, right. You, I mean, unless you see the individual people, it's like Powell talking about, well, yeah, we're going to be okay. No, unless you figure out, here's my buddy Joe. he worked at this restaurant. The restaurant, is it opening or not opening? Has Joe got another place to go? What's he going to... I mean, every... I think the difference between my economics and the people on TV, I look at all the people around, and the economics is the sum of all those people. It's not the big numbers on top where the big guys talk about, I think, David. That's just a difference of point of view, as they say.
No, and I get it, and I was going to ask you a question. Did you watch that Powell interview on 60 Minutes last night?
I didn't, but I've been hearing about it all morning. I was in the middle of getting water out of the basement.
There was one small caption or one small question from Scott Pelley to Powell, and he said something like, you know, have you run out of bullets? Have you run out of weapons? Oh, no, we're far, you know, from using. We got plenty of weapons, and, you know, we got plenty. And he said, well, you know, you spent, you know, there was $3.3 trillion spent, and, you know, bought us some time, and that's good, and put some money in folks, you know, and hopefully small businesses that needed it, whatever. But, you know, you say you have more weapons, you know, but where is this money coming from? And Powell's response was, and Pelley asked the question directly, do you print this money? And he said, well, we print it digitally. And then, hand to God. And then he said, oh, we print actual money too. And I'm like, what did he just say? And so my question to you is, because you know the ins and outs of this, just on a mechanical basis, when he says we print it digitally, in other words, let's say, I mean, I'm one of the lucky ones who got the $1,200. So it went, you know, right into my bank account. So my question is, I go to Bank America or Chase and I say, you know, hey, I got an account here at $1,200. I'd like to buy some food or, you know, pay an electric bill or whatever, you know, or just I want the cash. Give me the cash. So they give me the cash. When the Fed or the Treasury, he said we do rely on the Treasury to actually print the actual money. The actual, he didn't say about the digital. I mean, is it just a number in the Federal Reserve System? I mean, if Chase releases $1,200 to me, and it's just a digital number, does that cash come from?
That money, the $1,200, comes from the U.S. Treasury. Because the Treasury, here's the two step. This is the part that is very difficult, and you really hear it when you go on like another radio show. And the people there are not listening to me talk about it all the time. It's total counterintuitive. The Treasury goes out and borrows money. Say they're gonna borrow $3 trillion.
Right.
They go out and they borrow it. And they're gonna go to Goldman Sachs or the primary dealers or those people. They're gonna say, we're gonna go out and borrow $1,000, and David Adelman writes a check for $1,000. Okay, so that's how they get the money. So it's real money for them. The check that you get comes from the Treasury. But now, on the other side of the coin, the Fed goes out and says, well, we're going to go out and buy $2 trillion of that $3 trillion. Okay, so if the Treasury just borrowed $3 trillion for the population, you're not gaining anything. It just comes out of your pocket and goes into their pocket. So they're spending instead of you. Right? Exactly. But now the Fed comes in and says, we're going to go out and buy some of that paper. We're going to say to David, we'll buy that bond from you at $1,001. And you say, okay. You're going to get a check from the Fed. Okay, or your bank is going to get a check from the Fed. Now, the Fed has the balance sheet now contains that $1,000 bond. That's why they say the balance sheet increases. But the other side of their ledger is money that they just made up. The check,
right.
The check cleared to you from the Fed. Right? So the Treasury still is not dealing with funny money. They actually did the borrowing because nobody would ever change the Constitution to say that the Treasury can just print money and spend it. Right? You didn't even give that to Solomon or Caesar, that right. So they, you know, so they do the two-step process. They actually borrow it the traditional way and the Fed turns around and buys it. So when you say that the borrowing is $3 trillion and the Fed increased the balance sheet by 2.5, that means the Fed is essentially financing 5/6 of the whole thing.
Right.
That's why when somebody comes up and says, we really need, you know, fiscal policy, that man would flunk economics 101, that man or lady. Because there is no such thing as fiscal policy. Because they're already running a deficit of $3 trillion. If that isn't fiscal policy, what is? If you don't build it, if you don't build a bridge, it doesn't count. Well, these guys are talking about helicopter money. That's extreme fiscal policy. You just open up the helicopter, dump money out, and that's it. That's what they're doing with these checks. That's helicopter money.
Right, right, right. I get it.
And so there's.
Well, as soon as he said that word digitally, I was like, uh-oh, I got a question.
Well, they're not going to go with a sack of hundreds and pay you. They're gonna pay you, you know, through a check. So essentially, they write a check that clears, even though there's no money behind it. But now, on their balance sheet, they have the bonds and everything. So they actually have, it's, for lack of a better term, it's collateralized.
Right.
So when they go to turn the bus around, they can sell that bond back into the system and bring the money out of the system, and now it magically disappears. The same way magically it was created. But
you and I are in the wrong business.
Well, yeah. But the weird part is when he says he has a lot of tools, he's flat-ass wrong. He has one tool. It's like a battleship that can shoot in five different directions. He's going to count buying corporate bonds versus buying government bonds. They used to only be able to buy government bonds. Now he's going to say, okay, we can buy corporate bonds. We can buy mortgages. We can buy the Chief's 20-year-old Suburban. But it's all one tool. It's all putting money that you don't have out to buy stuff. You're just buying different stuff. It's the battleships,
right, right.
The battleships just aiming the guns at different directions. They still only got the 9 guns, right?
And then when they backstop the municipalities,
same
already
thing.
You know, especially the real stressed ones, the, you know, Chicago's, and, you know, I don't know how stressed Detroit still is, but I imagine pretty stressed, and others. I mean, what do they have? Are they pledging the city buildings? I don't get it.
Well, it's like they bought mortgages that were probably no good. They're going to buy some municipal debt that's no good.
Right.
Or if any of these places go bankrupt. But the weird part of it is, David, is the part that I disagree vehemently with them. And first of all, I hope that they're smarter than me and this works. But I disagree vehemently is, like I said 100 times, the economy is like an organism. It either all works or it doesn't. Now, if you have the city of Chicago or state, let's say they're not broke, okay, normal times, who buys that debt? You might get, you or I might get a client that when they're 55, 60, is willing to buy a 20-year piece of paper from city of Chicago or Cook County or a TIF or something. Now, why are they going to buy that? They're going to buy that because it's tax-deferred on your federal return, correct? Some
right.
of it's actually a triple tax deferred, isn't it, TIF?
Right, right,
triple
right.
tax, I mean, no more about this to me. Some are triple tax deferred. So somebody's going to buy that bond in Chicago, I'm going to say 3.5%, normal times, 4%. Well, after tax, it's worth 5.5 or 6, right? So that's why somebody's going to come buy that. Your insurance companies are all over this kind of stuff because they love tax deferred. They're going to pay their holders 3% rate on their annuities. If they can get a Chicago or a decent bond out of Chicago at 4.25% that's tax deferred,
they're just making the spread.
Yeah, they're on it like white on rice. And there's no question. But now the Fed comes in and they drive these numbers to 2% or 1.5% or something. Now what they're doing is they're not only putting money in the system, but you've essentially driven you've priced it such that the normal customers are not going to buy it. So I don't know, even mid, not even long term, midterm, what have you done? No insurance company, nobody that you and I want to put in to a, you know, if the rates were high enough, we might actually put somebody in a muni at age 55 and said, hey, you're good, you're 85, don't have to worry about the markets. You know, you're going to get, you know, 4% of your tax deferred, knock yourself out. You know, put $1 million in there, you're going to get $40,000, no taxes, you got your Social Security, you're good to go. I mean, we're not there yet at 4%, but I'm saying it could happen, right? Especially for people who want to take no risk. But now you've driven it to the point where State Farm is not going to buy a City of Chicago bond at 1%.
No.
You've totally skewered the market to where it doesn't even function on its own anymore because you're in there paying absurd. I mean, how many people in Germany or in the Eurozone, how many people are dying to buy those bonds at a minus interest rate? The Fed's got the Federal Reserve, well, their equivalent of the Federal Reserve, has to be the only buyer. The only reason why somebody else would buy it is they think the other knuckleheads are going to come buy it from you. The only reason why you would pay, you know, $1,200 for that $1,000 bond to drive it negative is if you thought Powell's going to pay $1,220 tomorrow.
Right. No, I get it.
So I mean, it's if you put it on a chalkboard, showing my age, it's not that difficult to understand. But nobody ever gives the complete story on TV or radio anywhere. So you don't. I mean, you wouldn't believe the way the I mentioned. No, it's a two-step process. The Fed does this, and the Treasury that. And Joan goes, oh, you can't leave. The thing just lit up. There's five. Wait a minute. Run that one by me again. Who does what where? Nobody gets this, and that's how they get to do it. But you know, someday, somewhere, somebody's going to. There's going to be four articles and papers that people actually believe. There's going to be some news media that actually somebody makes a decent enough case where somebody, wait a minute, you guys can't be doing that. What are you doing? I mean, you're crazy. And at the end of the day, I don't know how much it helps, David. I really don't. So anyway, we're way up here. We're going to be busting up. We were down how much last week? We're down way more than 80 in a week, I think.
We were down, the Russell was down like 3.3%. It was the worst. NASDAQ was down the least. That thing was down 0.5%.
The whole week?
The whole week the NASDAQ was only down 0.5%. Russell was down 3.5%. Dow was down like 2.45%. And the S&P was down about 1.8%.
So we're up now. We've covered, we've made back all last week and then some.
Yeah.
Wow, that's with 2 500-point down days in a row.
Well, but yeah, but don't forget, Thursday we were down, it came back and closed a touch higher. Friday we were quite a bit down, it came back and closed higher. So,
but Tuesday, Wednesday were...
A chunk of that was trimmed on the late session rallies Thursday and Friday.
Right, but we were down 1,200 points Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
So basically last week is now forgotten.
Hey, Moderna's vaccine.
Yeah, well, that's good news, actually.
And now there's another one, Sorrento, which, and I am not touting that because I've read up, and I'm not saying it's a fraud, but, you know, they have a thing where, you know, they have a vaccine that they've isolated that they claim they can, you know, make millions of doses and whatever. SRNE, I think, is the symbol. And it just produces antibodies that, you know, will prevent the COVID from, you know, mutating or killing somebody. The fact of the matter is they've done it literally in a petri bowl with cells, not even in you know, rats or whatever. So, I mean, I think firms like J&J and Regeneron and even Gilead, but certainly Moderna, you know, and without patting myself in the back, because I don't own a lot of it. I own a little bit in Moderna, and being frank, I sold some calls, you know, $10 above, never dreaming that it would get called away. And now it's so deep in the money, I have to let it go to expiration. So I have not caught a large amount. But back in, you know, early March, I think around March 9th, I said there's three stocks to own in this disaster, Gilead, Regeneron, and Moderna. They've all been awesome. I wish I owned more. I should have listened to myself.
Listening to yourself, I can never do that either. I mean, I've told everybody to get along sober for 3 weeks, and I got a little bit of it for some of my people. But
you even convinced me. I haven't been bullish. I've been on and off bullish gold. I've never been bullish silver in 6 years. And a week and a half ago, I said it looks better than gold.
Well, you were right. I mean, it's I don't. I wonder if. I mean, I don't see how does Boeing make it here, David? I mean, even with the $10 billion in loans and federal stuff. I mean, they're not selling anything. Their drain has got to be, I don't know, a million a day. They got 400 and some planes on the ground. Delta just retired their 777, so there goes the spare parts and stuff on that. I mean, what good is happening to this place?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I have 20 shares with one customer, and luckily she called her own shot and it's just held it. They're thick and thin, mostly thin. Otherwise, I don't own a share, nor would I own one. You know what? If you put a gun to my head and said, you know, buy something stressed, you know, do a lot of covered calls or, you know, do collars, whatever. I would take a shot, you know, with some January or February, you know, short options. I try something like a Norwegian cruise line before I take a shot at Delta.
Really? All right. Take care, David. Talk to you on Thursday. S&P futures of 82.75. Again, vaccine on the way. It looks like NASDAQ futures up 183. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early. I
got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.